Chapter 14. Delphos. On the cracked esplanade of the temple, before its huge gates, Sanguinius said, "This is truly the eye of the storm." Gilliman and the lion looked sceptical. Kurz smiled reptilian.
"You are feeling lyrical," he said. "Does that mean you're ready to be swept away by the winds of fate?"
"We will defeat the storm," Sanguinius told him.
"Nothing will be defeated," the lion said, "because there is nothing here."
He spread his arms wide, taking in the temple, its grounds, and the entire crater.
"This is what you risked so much for, Sanguinius. Is it worth it?"
"Not yet," said the angel. He felt serene. He had, since the moment he and Kurz had set foot on the soil of Davin. He felt more certain, more eager for the future than at any time since he had first known how he would die. He and his brothers were standing on the threshold of culmination, and he was ready. Even though the lion was right, there was nothing. The landscape appeared to be beyond calm. It was as dead as the necrosphere. The drop pods of all three legions had come down in the crater, and hundreds of Legiones Astartes had taken up positions at the end of the causeway leading to the Delphos. Blood Angels, Ultramarines, and Dark Angels surrounded the esplanade. With no sign of threat, they did not know if they came as invaders or defenders. Half the guns pointed towards the crater rim, ready for a foe to come over the peaks of red stone or through the valley that led to the crater. The other half were trained on the temple. Squadrons of Thunderhawks and Storm Ravens flew above the crater on escort missions for the columns of heavy armour rumbling through the valley. Big as the crater was, it was too narrow to land the larger transports. They came down in the plains to the south, disgorging the tanks and thousands more troops. The first vehicles were arriving now, and the bowl of the crater was slowly filling with the might of three legions. Twilight had fallen. There was no wind. The roar of engines and the tromp of boots against stone seemed thin, unable to crack the stillness of Davin. The Delphos was a colossal octagon, built from monolithic blocks of red stone. A tower rose from each corner. A dome covered the central mass. The spires of two of the towers had fallen to the esplanade, and the dome was cracked. A fissure, gaping darkness, ran from the crown of the dome to its base. The Primarchs stood beside a wide basin. It had been a pool, but it was dry now. The once smooth sides of the basin were flaking and pitted, and the bottom was covered in a thick layer of dust. A canal running along the base of the temple wall had once fed the basin. It too now held only dust and crumbled rock. Tall columns ran on either side of the staircase to the esplanade. They were eroded, as if ferocious sandstorms had blasted their features away. A few isolated patches of gold scale were still visible on the serpents that coiled around the pillars. The sockets of their eyes were deep and hollow. The serpents gaped with blind ferocity at the army below. Two colossal iron doors formed the entrance to the temple. They were rusted. Their engraving, of two serpents entwined around a spreading tree, was worn down, its details fading into the metal's decay. The doors were open. The left had dropped from its great hinges. It leaned against the entrance, a corpse fossilized in the act of falling. Great sconces dotted the esplanade, their flames long extinguished. Everything was cold. Everything was still. The dust was red. The stone was red. But in the gloom of the evening, all was grey. Overhead, the lights of the fleet glimmered. They were the only stars above Davin.
"So much silence," Gilliman said.
"The galaxy burns because of this world, but there are not even embers here any longer." "These ruins mark its history," said Sanguinius. "I feel its weight. I feel the corruption that shaped every stone. Don't you?"
"That history is finished," the lion said.
But he was looking intently at the ruins, as if studying them for the secrets they held within the rock.
"Our presence here begins another chapter," Sanguinius told him.
"I'm not sure." Gilliman looked up at the pervasive grey of the necrosphere. "Histories have died here."
"Ours will not. The Imperium's will not."
We risk our histories if the true threat is in the necrosphere, and this landing is a distraction.
It isn't, Sanguinius said. He faced the temple's broken gate. Look at the decay, he said.
What of it?
The lion asked. This was a place of worship when it was pacified. You saw the records from before Horus's arrival. This is a ruin, but the early surveys said it was intact.
Do you think it decayed since then?
Yes. So much erosion in a period of a few years? This is the work of centuries.
Horus was brought to an unnatural place, and it is unnatural still. He walked towards the doors.
Let us face the enemy, he said.
He pulled Kurz along at the end of a length of chain. The Night Haunter regarded the Delphos with interest. Sanguinius thought he saw a frown cross Kurz's face. It was gone before he was sure. Kurz's pallid features were shadowed, unreadable. The Primarchs walked at the head of a contingent of their elite warriors, squads of the Sanguinary Guard, the Invictus, the Deathbringers, and the Doombringers followed. The Ultramarines marched between the Blood Angels and the Dark Angels. The men of the First Legion glared at those of the Ninth. The Blood Angels did not react, but Sanguinius could feel the tension in his sons. They did not share the serenity that had touched him here. They were alert, wary, braced, as they had been since Cygnus Prime, for an attack that might come from within as easily as from without. The darkness beyond the gate was heavy, dry. It was a husk. Helm lights pierced it, revealing eroded walls. They looked as if sandstorms had blown through the temple's chambers. Reptilian frescoes were faint, dying whispers of images. Their content was a mystery, though what remained slithered against the eye. The rooms were deserted. The echoes of marching feet bounced dully against the walls. The Primarchs and their guards moved deeper and deeper into the Delphos, deeper and deeper into nothingness. The lion muttered under his breath with each succeeding empty chamber.
This is a waste of time, he said at last.
Patience, brother, Sanguinius said.
Patience until what?
I don't know. But it will come. He was certain. The knot of fate was tight before him.
Conrad, Gilliman said, what do you see? Is Sanguinius right? What should I tell you?
Kurz answered, his rasp hissing against the stones.
Something you would believe or something true?
Maybe I should break your back again, the lion said. I might believe what you said then.
My answers would be the same. So, I think, would your disbelief. You can't accept the absence of hope.
You can't accept its presence, Sanguinius said.
You keep disappointing me, said Kurz. You, of all our brothers, should know better.
The frown appeared again. This time Sanguinius was sure. In the center of the Delphos they found a room that had been secret. There were no iron doors over its entrances. Instead, there were openings in the walls where masonry had fallen in. There were faint patterns of dried blood on the floor.
We are close, Sanguinius said.
And to what? Gilliman asked.
I'm not sure. He looked at the avenging sun. Can't you feel it?
The temple's air had been stagnant and dead since the main gate. In the last few minutes it had grown charged, as if building up to something.
I don't feel anything, said Gilliman.
Nor do I,
the lion added. Sanguinius wondered if he was wrong, if his conviction was manufacturing anticipation. Kurz was silent, his expression closed. On a level directly up from the hidden room, under the dome, they found an altar. It was the first object they had seen. It was in the centre of a chamber so narrow it was more like a cylinder. The walls went up 100 feet to the dome, but the floor was less than 20 feet across. The Primarchs entered by the single doorway. Their legionaries waited in the larger hall outside. The altar was a single large slab, over 10 feet long and 5 feet high. It was a much deeper red than the rest of the stone of the temple. It was almost black. There were stains on the surface, too. Unlike the pattern in the chamber below, these appeared to be the pooling from a wound. Sanguinius stopped on the east side of the altar with Kurz. Gilliman and the lion stood on the west. The gaze of all four alighted on the stain and lingered.
he lay here, said the lion.
Gilliman nodded. Sanguinius said, This is where his fate took shape. He struck the altar with the pommel of the blade and carmine. The ringing of metal against stone was loud and hollow. Here, he said again. The war began here. He wanted to say the war would end here, too. He could not. Yet there was symmetry at work in the presence of four primarchs here. The journey from Macragge was a descent further and further into the very heart of the war. They were there now, at the fulcrum of space, on which the galaxy had turned and fallen into flame. The air should have trembled with the import of this moment. Instead, there was nothing. The event Sanguinius anticipated did not arrive. He considered the possibility of self-delusion and discarded it. This was where he and his brothers were meant to be. And yet, stale air hung in the chamber. The altar was covered by the layers of the past.
Sanguinius, said the lion, we have been deluded again. Both of us.
For the first time since he had arrived on Davin, he spoke without anger. He was grave. The altar and what it meant weighed on him too.
The Delphos is dead. Davin is dead. You were wrong to bring us here. I was wrong to believe in the imperative of destruction.
He sighed.
This world was corrupt. Now it is a corpse. What happened here is reason enough to destroy it, but there is no military reason to do so. It will not get us any closer to Terra.
You were the first to show us the way here, said Sanguinius. The road to Terra led to Pandarax, and from Pandarax to here.
I know, said the lion. And the means to breaking through the ruin storm must lie in this system. It is simply not here on Davin. Can't you see, brother? Davin's history is done. All that would ever happen here has already happened. This world corrupted Horus, and its population left to spread more ruin. Its task is done.
An entire world bent to a specific purpose, Gilliman said, his face troubled. We have seen enough to know such things must be true, said Sanguinius. Tasked by whom? Gilliman asked. By what? There was pain on his face, and he held up a hand before Sanguinius answered. I know. I resist the idea that we are at the mercy of gods. I resist them. I will not abandon reason without a fight. Horus had a choice. All of us do.
Do we?
Said Kurz, his tone a reptilian mix of bitterness, amusement, and despair.
Do you? The future is written, Rabuti. You can shake the bars of our cage all you want. They will not bend.
Our problem is not whether fate has brought us here or not, said the lion. Our problem is what to do next.
To Gilliman he said,
If there is nothing here, then we must consider the shadow we saw in the necrosphere. The enemy must be hiding in the shell.
I had hoped our presence here would lure it out.
We have learned otherwise. We must hope it is not too late to change our deployment. I will halt our landings. We must leave.
No, said Sanguinius. Our task here is not done.
How can you be so fixated on this distraction? The lion demanded, exasperated. The enemy is the one you saw first, the one you fought.
Sanguinius circled the room.
There is something we are missing, he said.
As he walked, he looked at the walls, the ceiling, and the sides of the altar. Everything was old, eroded, dead. The traces of runic murals were little more than patches. They did not even hint at what forms the runes might once have had. The power that had circled the room, a serpent on stone, was gone.
Accept what you see, said the lion. Nothing more of significance will occur on Davin. All that matters has already happened.
Everything has already happened, Kurz snarled. Not just here. Everything is written. Nothing can change.
Sanguinius stopped his pacing. You are wrong, Conrad, he said. I know the future can change. Kurz looked at him with genuine unease. The angel approached the south end of the altar. He rapped it with his fist. This was a fulcrum, he said. Fate pivoted here. Horus fell. But why did he fall? Something turned him, but it did not transform him. He is still Horus. When he betrayed my legion and sent us to the trap of Cygnus Prime, he fooled me because he was our brother. He is not a changeling. He embraced his descent into darkness. So however hard he was pushed, tempted, or manipulated, he must still have made a choice. There was a decision. He looked at the lion. You faced a decision too. You might have killed me. Was it fated that you did not?
Of course it was, said Kurz. You disappoint me, Sanguinius. I thought you were beyond trying to wriggle free of the hook. I thought inevitability was why you brought me here. You and I do not die on Davin,
don't we? Is there no chance that we might have? I wonder. Remember how near to death you came on Macragge, Conrad. You felt certainty slip away then. Destiny was on a pivot, and it almost turned. Sanguinius turned to the lion again, pushing his brother. He felt the charge in the air again, and it grew stronger as he moved closer to Revelation. How close did you come to giving the order for the bombardment?
Close, the lion said.
He hesitated, then continued.
My reason was clouded.
Yet you did not give the command, Sanguinius said. Where is the victory of chaos, Conrad? The universe acted to spare us. Gilliman said,
I faced a decision too.
A fateful one? Sanguinius asked.
Yes.
Do you see the pattern?
Sanguinius realized he was breathing faster. An enormous possibility was opening up before him. He would articulate it this time. He would make it real. The Davin system is a fulcrum of destiny. Brothers, you chose well. Horus fell, but you remain standing. We have been brought here to be tempted, just as Horus was.
If this is so, then you too must face a decision, said the lion. What is it?
I perceive it imperfectly, but I encountered it on Pirin. He paused. Conrad knows when and how he will die. I too know the moment of my death. Gilliman looked stricken, the lion's face darkened with surprise and anger. I did know the moment, Sanguinius continued before they could speak. On Pirin that changed. In the Manufactorum I confronted visions of the future. In all of them but one I died. That was my moment of decision. I could accept what I had long known, or reject it. I chose the vision where I lived, and we triumphed. Next to him, the clink of Kurz's manacles and chains ceased.
Why are we here? Said the lion. You made your choice on Pirin, and we made ours in orbit. No one except Horus made a decision on the soil of Davin. There is nothing here except the traces of what happened to him. If this altar had a purpose, it has served it. There are relics of tragedy on Davin, that is all.
And so it would seem, Sanguinius said. The world is deserted. Too much dust has gathered. Too much has eroded. The system is enclosed by bone. Is it not extravagantly dead? As if gods were determined to convince us that there is nothing?
None of this advances us strategically, said Gilliman.
We have come here, Sanguinius, and we have seen. I feel the weight of this place, but this is getting us no closer to terror. There is an intruder in the system, and we have the bulk of our forces planetside. We must leave.
Sanguinius shook his head. He was not going to be deflected now, not when understanding was so close, not when he could finally lay claim to the hope that had been denied him for so very long.
The way to terror is here, Rabute, in this chamber. I am sure of it. This is still a fulcrum.
He stopped. His eyes snapped wide in awe. He understood what he had been arguing. He understood the full implications of his words. He understood that Pirin had only been a prologue.
Fate can be altered here, he said. This is where Horus's destiny was created. It was not inevitable that he would come here. Don't you see? He pleaded. Our father was not blind. He could not foresee Davin, because here is where the future changes. Here is where we will change it.
Revelation blazed. He saw all the threads of possibilities, the severed and the chosen. He saw the knots of fate and how they choked or were undone.
I will,
Sanguinius shouted.
I will change the future!
And his words summoned light. The lion cursed. He and Gilliman stepped back from the altar, weapons in hand. A vertical slit opened in the air before the north wall. It ran from the dome to the floor, thin as a lasbeam and as bright. A second tear grew horizontally from its centre, arcing halfway around the cylinder wall. Diagonal lines lashed out, forming a star. The tear widened, turning from star to sphere, burning with white light. Sanguinius stared into brilliance. He beheld the ferocious energy of life and possibility. The sphere stretched downwards, taking on the shape of a doorway. Something moved deep within the gate. Sanguinius thought he saw a flutter, as rapid, constant alterations. He thought of the blurring succession of visions when he fell through the breach in the reel on Perrin, and he knew what he had to do. Gilliman and the lion were at the back of the chamber, squinting against the light. Their guns were trained on the portal.
"This is a trap, Sanguinius!"
Gilliman called.
"There is nothing else it can be!"
"We were manipulated," said the lion. "The enemy misleads you, too!"
"You do not understand what I have seen,"
Sanguinius told them. Kurz still hadn't moved. He was staring at the portal, though his face was a mask of agony.
"I know what I must do, brothers," Sanguinius said. "This is the fulcrum. I will forge us a new fate."
"You cannot do this," said Kurz.
His voice was barely a whisper. There was something in his tone that was alien to the Night Haunter. His face was transformed. It took Sanguinius a moment to recognize what he was seeing and hearing in Kurz. It was horror. Horror that the angel might destroy the bedrock of Kurz's existence. Horror that Sanguinius might prove the future was not written.
"I must," Sanguinius replied.
He entered the portal. The last thing he heard before the light enveloped him was the Night Haunter screaming.